who's that? Oh, don't worry, that's just baby Antichrist over there. He needs fed. Rafael Cruz, baby Ted, there's the baby Antichrist. Oh, Antichrist hungry? Let's get him a little nursing. Give him a little nipple. Okay, so that's how it's going to be, huh? Yeah, that's how it's going to be. It has to happen. It has to happen sometime, and why not now? Why not now? Wow, yeah, that was a crashing revelation to me when I thought of the ordinariness of the entrance of Antichrist. That's why I said that you should not look for spectacularity. You should not look for a white horse rider, literally. And just like when Jesus came, that's why the people missed him. So I don't want you to miss Antichrist for the same reason. They missed Christ because they were looking for a political deliverer, not a little baby and the little manger where the cows and the goats and the pigs eat. No, they were looking for a great conqueror. So I think in Antichrist, we're looking for a great conqueror. And we're maybe tending to make the opposite mistake in looking for the great conqueror. We are looking for obvious signs, and this thing's not going to start obviously. It's going to start slowly. It's going to percolate, just like Jesus percolated. He percolated, didn't he? He lived anonymously for 30 years before assuming the mantle of God's son publicly. It was in the Jordan River. John baptized him. This is my son in whom I am delighted. That's when it happened. And so the Antichrist can be among us, and I believe is among us, but will be groomed for power. And somebody has to produce him. There's the shock that I left you with yesterday. Somebody has to produce this human being. And the only reason Joseph and Mary could wrap their little Jewish heads around the fact that they were the mommy and daddy of the creator of heavens and earth, they had to be told this by supernatural revelation. Angels came into their rooms and talked to them. That's how it happened. I don't think anything like that is going to happen with Antichrist. It's not going to be like Satan goes into Rafael Cruz's bedroom. I'm comparing this with the Annunciation to Mary. Satan didn't go into Rafael's bedroom with the announcement, you know, like you are going to bear the Antichrist, and you can't have sex with your wife until the Antichrist comes forward. No, it's nothing like that. So because this thing is going to be done with even more stealth than the coming of Christ. That's what I said. That's right. I just said it. I'm going to repeat it. The coming of Antichrist, I believe, is going to take place with more stealth than the coming of Christ. That's why I laugh at people, really, who think that Obama is the Antichrist or even the Pope. Now, I was thinking that could be the case, but I'm thinking now that it's too obvious. I'm looking for more subtle things. And yes, along that line, it could be more subtle even than Ted Cruz. Of course. It could be somebody who's not even on the radar right now. It could be someone in the Cruz administration. How's that? Who is working deals undercover. I told you last week that Babylon does not have to be a city named Babylon. Yes, it does have to be on the banks of the Tigris and the Euphrates River in modern-day Iraq. It does. But it doesn't have to be called that. It could be an operation that simmers underground, works its dirty deeds beneath the earth on the site of Babylon, even as a Disney-like city rises on the surface. No problemo with that, I have. And the same with Antichrist. It can be someone under the surface, yet who eventually does have to rise. It will rise. Jesus Christ eventually rose. He's making doors with his dad. He's making cabinets. He's making countertops with his father for years. But he's eventually announced. So it will come. it will come. He lived in anonymity. And the Antichrist will, maybe has, lived in anonymity. Ted Cruz, who knew him before he became senator of Texas? I haven't followed the man's career. I don't know. But he was a kid. Grew up under the tutelage of Raphael. And his mother, where's she from again? I don't know. Who cares? Sorry. I mean, no offense. Now, let us turn our attention, if I may force you now, to Ted Cruz. Because I first told you that David Barton was a promoter of Dominion theology. That Glenn Beck was a closet Dominionist. That Raphael Cruz was and is an active Dominionist. Oh, I meant to say to you before, and I meant to say to you something here, and that his son, of course, Ted, what I meant to say, this Dominion thing based on Genesis, this, unbelievable. They're taking the name Dominion theology from the book of Genesis. And I think it's, what, verse 118 or 128 or something, when God gave Adam, who's the representative human, dominion. That word is used. Have dominion over the earth. Subdue the earth. That was given to humanity. Humanity was to subdue the earth. And to tend the earth. And to, yes, be given rulership. Be given authority over other human beings. But this was a mankind thing. Now here you can see the twist taking place to say that now a certain religion, a certain sect is to take that authority. So it's taking what God said and it's twisting it to say that not humanity in general or humanity at large, but now a specific cult within humanity, a cult that we have decided what it is, and it's the cult called Christianity. Which, since it boasts the name Christ, is the only right religion. Folks, this is brewing. This is coming about as we speak, and it fits perfectly the human heart that not only wants to feel important, wants to feel like it's making a difference, wants to contribute. I've often wondered how these sheeple can contribute to these bogus ministers of God, people like Joel Osteen, like the Pope. People give the Pope, the Catholic Church, money, 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 honey. People are giving Raphael Cruz the forced tithe. How can they do it? Because they see in the great person their ability to make a difference in the world. They can't be Joel Osteen. They can't be Raphael Cruz, but they can support these people. And so it lends some sort of importance to their lives. And this is a great selling point. We all want to feel like we're making a difference. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with the human need. But this basic human need, as most advertisers do, they will prey on that basic human need and they will manipulate it to serve their own purposes. And that's what's happening. This human need to belong, to want to contribute to a great cause, which you and I are doing, but we're contributing to the right cause. This basic human need is being manipulated by Christians to further their theology, which is called Dominionism. Now, how much time do I have left? Alrighty then. Here is a article from Religious News Service. This is called religionnews.com, and the article is titled, Ted Cruz's Campaign is Fueled by a Dominionist Vision for America. Kind of an awkward title. I would have cut it down by a few words, but that's just me. I'm a writer. Apparently, these people are verbal wanderers. Anyway, this is from February the 4th, 2016, and this is what it has to say. Now that Ted Cruz has an Iowa victory under his belt, that was a long time ago, Ted has lately had many more states under his belt, and as I speak to you today, he's surging in the polls. Did I use the right word there? Is that how the political commentators say? Surging, yes, I did that, okay. I'm disappointed that I used a politically correct term. He's charging through the polls. How's that? Now, quote, it's time to take a deeper look at his Christian approach to politics. And this website is not sympathetic, I don't believe, to the Christian slant on politics. What is his real vision for America? Cruz likes to talk about, quote, taking back, unquote, or reclaiming the United States. What does he mean by this? Many Americans, Christian or otherwise, may find the answers to these questions disturbing. This is me now. Then again, they may not, and I say they don't. But anyway, back to the article. Cruz's shoe leather campaign in Iowa targeted the state's large number of evangelical Christians, but not all evangelicals are the same. Donald Trump appeals mostly to those connected with the Christian prosperity movement, a form of evangelicalism that celebrates the accumulation of wealth as a sign of God's blessing. Hello, Joel Osteen. I can't tell you how much I don't like Joel Osteen. I'm not sure I've said it lately. If I haven't said it lately, then let's review. I think Joel Osteen's a huckster. I think he's a crook. I think it's legal robbery. I think the people are brain dead to sit there and hear this crazy information that God wants you to have all this stuff and God wants you to be successful. And if you're not successful, it's your own stupid fault for not having enough faith. And this is what the Pentecostals are tagging into. Because it so appeals to humanity, does it not? Oh, yeah. Marco Rubio appeals to suburban, educated, middle and upper middle class evangelicals. Upper middle class evangelicals. Boy, there's a small piece of the pie right there. Of course, we know this is an old article. Little Marco dropped out of the race. Back to the article. These evangelicals normally avoid the Pentecostal prayer meetings of the prosperity crowd and change the channel when televangelists show up on their big screens. Cruz resonates with the evangelical culture warriors. Evangelical culture warriors. He mixes what New York Times columnist David Brooks describes as political brutalism with a belief that he is engaged in a fight with the devil for the soul of the nation. It is only a matter of time before Cruz assumes the role. That's just what I was saying. It's only a matter of time. Of the Antichrist, whoever it is, I'm not saying it is Ted Cruz, but is going to bide his time, just like Christ did. There's my unholy analogy between Christ and Antichrist. But again, we got the common root word there, so I beg your indulgence here. He's described as political brutalism with a belief that he is engaged, that is Ted Cruz, is engaged in a fight with the devil for the soul of the nation. And this is what Ted Cruz believes, and it's what Glenn Beck believes. Now, you and I believe that we are in a fight with Satan as well. So here is a common thread of truth. But our fight with Satan is for a thing that we have been told in the scripture is legitimate. By Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, we're taking our marching orders from Paul. This is something completely different because Satan is not withstanding these people. Oh no, Satan wants this to happen. So how of a big, fat, hairy, predictable rut is that? God does this too. These people think they're fighting the very being who is enabling them to do what they do. Satan is fueling their soulish desires, their lust for power and money, and yet they think they're fighting Satan, the bad people of the world, in order to take power. So they think that they will be winning over Satan should Ted Cruz win the White House. We've won a great victory over Satan. When actually, Satan's in the back room laughing to himself because in getting them to think that they're fighting him, he works his will through their midst. That is genius. It's diabolical genius. It's of Satan relatively, but it's ultimately of God. So, got more from this article. So look, tune in here tomorrow. I'm going to elaborate, finish this article. It's amazing. More stuff there. And then I don't know what. But I'll figure it out as I go. This is a grassroots operation. You're supporting this work. God is in our desire to see Him glorified, not ourselves. We are not in a program to glorify ourselves. That's the difference between us and them. We are in a program to see God and Christ glorified, to see the rightful owner of the throne come, not to occupy the White House, but to occupy the throne of the entire earth.